in three words. The best stories.
What are stories of the best things going on right now?
The best stories are authentic.
They are relevant.
Thought-provoking.
I think emotional is probably the first one.
The best
one
stories
for me.
Are humorous.
Shareable.
I think emotional.
Entertaining.
They're unique.
I would say relevant. Inspiring.
Honest.
Real.
Colorful.
Are for today.
And they're emotional.
Those are some of the best stories.
Hello, how are you? And welcome back for another edition of Storyteller. It's the monthly live stream that is produced by Tagboard, but more importantly, it is powered by all of you. We have a local news legend joining us today, but first, a quick intro. My name is Sky Muller. You can find me on Twitter at SkySPX.
And I'm Kristen Rogers. You can catch me on Twitter as well with at Kristen E. Rogers. Let's highlight the goal of today. It's to educate, entertain, and really engage with all of you watching. That final part is where you come into play. Tweet us using hashtag Storyteller and tell us where you're watching from. Give us your favorite moments from today and keep that phone handy because we do have everyone's favorite Tagboard trivia coming up in just a bit.
Now, enough of us. How about this storyteller? Ever since graduating from Boulder, go Buffs, he has climbed the local news ladder from Topeka, Kansas to Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, that's right. Photographer, reporter, anchor, producer. He can do it all because that's what local news is truly all about, right? And that's exactly what he has been doing for the last 20 years as a producer for CBS Chicago. Zach Spector, welcome in to the Storyteller stage. We're so excited to have you here with us.
Thank you very much. This is great. All my hours of listening to podcasts is finally going to pay off.
Yes, let's go. Well, Zach, we love to welcome in our guests with a little fill in the blank. So, okay. In your opinion, the best stories are blank, blank, and blank.
I think the best story and the best kind of stories, and even I would say every story should be this, should be urgent, should be relevant, and should be authentic.
I love that. I love the urgency, especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big and live local news. That's the point of being live.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about urgency and the point of being live, give us a little, maybe a good story, memorable story from your time throughout your local news career where there was just crazy urgency and you're like throwing things together, trying to get something on the air and tell this story. Give us a good one there.
Yeah, there is. This could take your entire podcast. However, I'll keep it brief.
Bring it.
Something just very recently was last year during the riots in Chicago. We were preparing for a show like usual. I was producing my show, but we knew there were protests that were going to be going on all day. And but you have to be ready in local news to throw out 8 hours worth of work and go with what's happening, which is what happened that night. And so we realize that things are kind of percolating a little bit. We realize we had set up from, you know, protests had started at like noon or something like that. And I was on at 10. But as we get to like 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, those protests were turning a little more sinister, a little more serious, a little more violent, and bordering on, I want to use the right word, but some people might call it a riot. And so we had crews in the field. They were brave and very talented. And I remember my executive producer, Chris, I've worked with him for 20 years. He's the guy that opened the door on my first day at Channel 2 at midnight when I showed up. And so me and him are very, very kind of in the zone, and we get out there and stuff is happening on TV. This isn't video that we recorded. Stuff is happening. We have a reporter in front of a fire in a building. We have another reporter trying to stay out of the way of conflicts with police. We have another reporter with the marchers that are still winding their way through the city. And we literally spent, I think my portion of it was probably a couple of hours where like Chris is looking at the monitor. You know, we have these big walls of TVs of all the feeds that we've got. And Chris is looking at him. So we got a fire over on one. I'm talking to the director. Let's set this up. The director is another good friend of mine I've talked to. We're very much in sync. And the three of us, and then, of course, the other crew, too, were able to pull. We've got the fire over here. We've got the march over here. We've got a police car on fire. We've got one of our investigators, Dave Savini, going where all the glass has been shattered in front of Macy's. We've got this person crossing the bridge with protesters. And it was really, we didn't know what we were going to do until the moment we did it. It was like, this report seems to be finishing. What? Oh, that's a fire. Go to that one. And in the world of TV news, in local TV news, we are highly produced, but we are also able to turn on a dime with the way the technology works. But it's but you got to have the right people there, and I think that's critical. But it was one of the best nights, I'd say, of my career. I think that show, sorry, Kristen, but I was watching that show back. I'm just amazed at stuff. You would be lucky to spend a day recording that much good video. We all did it as it was happening. People at home were watching it as it was going on.
Yeah, I mean, because it's all about being able to bring that information that is so vital to the viewers. And in a situation like that, too, when you just have so much content, being able to filter through it and tell the story from so many different angles, that's paramount right now. And, you know, Zach, you've been producing stories at CBS Chicago for more than two decades. When it does come to informing and connecting with your viewers, what do you feel like is the biggest key to storytelling these days?
You know, there's a few of them. You have to remember who's watching. I think when you're telling a story, first and foremost, I always say, put yourself on your couch for a minute. What are you looking at? Sometimes it's what's going to interest you. And sometimes it's what do you need to know? So that night, you needed to know what was going on in this area because you have to avoid it. You are maybe a business person. You are maybe somebody who works downtown. What is happening to your city? Those were all really important things. But also things like if you're sitting down and you're watching a piece of video, is it difficult to watch? Is it alarming to watch? Is it disturbing to watch? There have been times where we will do stories and we'll warn you. We'll say, this is a piece of video that, you know, you're going to want to consider. And we're going to warn you about that before we show you. Sometimes what we'll do is, and this again is born out of, if I was sitting on my couch, how would I feel about it? We'll show a video of, say, a really bad crash that ends up on video. And I will say, you would never do this in a newscast, but I would say beforehand, I'd say, before you watch this video, I want you to know the person is okay. Mm-hmm. And so that when you're that person on your couch, you can appreciate what is happening and understanding what's happening, but understanding also that you're not looking at something you shouldn't be seeing.
As you look and talk about people at home watching on their couch, you guys have recently brought in Tagboard to CBS Chicago, which now, in addition to showing that empathy for the viewer at home and everything along the lines you were just speaking to, you can actually bring their voice into your broadcast now as well. Give us a little insight and give our viewers a little insight into how you guys have brought the voice of the viewer into your broadcast.
Well, Tagboard's been an incredible tool for us because it almost, you know, when we first started integrating social media, I'm this old that I remember when, oh, what's Twitter? Is that a bird? I mean, I remember that. I remember going, what do I do with this thing? Does anybody really care what I'm feeling about at this minute? But, you know, obviously Twitter pivoted to real life eyes on the ground all over the world. But anyway, so, when we first started integrating social media into news, there was this notion that like we would do our newscast the way we would always do a newscast. And then, oh, by the way, we can show a tweet. We can show what people say after the fact. But Twitter, the ability to have Tagboard integrate so well with our on-air product that it almost becomes like part of the planning and the conversation beforehand. It becomes the way we cover something because we know that we'll be integrating Tagboard in the product itself, into the show itself. And then we also are able to have people's feelings on it right away, immediately. We don't have to worry about like, wait a minute, I'm going to talk to some newsmaker and then have to go find reaction. We know we're going to get it. We also know that that gives us a lot of eyes on the ground. Storm coverage, really, really big to have Tagboard. And obviously, people mm-hmm. in TV news know that weather is top, top, top. And so Tagboard is an mm-hmm. excellent tool with that because we can see what's going on. The radar, you know, most weather coverage is based on satellite radar imagery, models. They create models. My meteorologist always tells me about the model. but when somebody is there, particularly in a remote location, that's a game changer.
You mentioned the weather. Is there like another recent story that comes to mind when you think like we really nailed bringing tag board into this story?
There is. There was one we did, and I think you know about this one, Sky, that went, so the Chicago Bears were long, you know, there's nothing more Chicago than the Bears. And they made a move that made it look like, it's not been decided yet, but made it look like they might be leaving Chicago for a suburb. And even that little move we knew was going to be really emotional for people. People were going to feel so strongly about that. And so what we did was we assembled a tag board of all the comments that we could find that had reaction to them to this potential move. It hasn't been decided yet. And we created a little a tally format on the bottom. Now, the tally format, for people who don't know, is super convenient because it does not conflict with the graphics that are already on the screen. So we can still have all kind of supers and full screens. It does not interact with our video, which is a great advantage. And we could have that rolling while you're watching all of the things that happen. So, you know, we have experts who tell us, what does this mean? Because they didn't come out and say, we want to leave Chicago. They made a move to purchase an area that would support a very big stadium. But we had to have a lot of experts and people in the know to explain that. And now normally in a story, we would do that, and then we would have some sound bites afterwards, or maybe even mixed in. But with Tag Board, we were able to have those comments running while we're showing you all that information. And now that, again, is something we were talking about earlier about what's it like on your couch. Because people's viewing habits have changed greatly in the time I've been in TV news. The idea that you could be watching this, and watching somebody talk, and also reading comments from viewers, 20 years ago, we wouldn't do that. Now we know that people are paying attention to several different things at the same time. And that was really, I think, a big, that was a great integration of Tag Board. And this is what I was telling you before, Sky, that this is like, to me, the Tag Board effect, that we can have these almost real-time comments going while we're telling you the story. And that's something that's unique to Tag Board because, you know, I mean, I could take a screenshot of a tweet, but I can't have a running tally like that unless I have Tag Board. And I can also update it as we go. I can, while that show's on the air, I can feed those into my Tag Board and it'll automatically scroll with them.
I mean, we love to hear about the Tag Board effect here, Zach, but I do love that point too, because I'm such a big believer that social media is truly media now. It is all about looking for all of the different voices that have an opinion about what's going on in your local community. And that's something that you guys are really highlighting right now. Something else that you guys will be highlighting is the fact that we are in the middle of November sweeps, election season, albeit not the same level as last year in the presidential election. But give us an idea about storytelling around elections and what your process is like when you are producing election coverage.
Well, election coverage, I'll just tell you that election night is my favorite day of the year, or every 4 years. It is the reason why I got into TV news. And I always feel, someone told me this early in my career, and I think it's true. And that if you don't like, I don't want to sell out my friends, but I feel like the reason why, that if you don't like if you don't like election night, I feel like if you don't like election night, I'm not sure what you like about TV news, because this is where it's really fun. And I mean, I joke about it because we all love to think of TV news as like a fly by the seat of your pants kind of thing. But actually, again, talking about the viewer on the couch, this is important. This is really important. And whether we think that, all the statistics, your eyes glaze over after a while, elections are very consequential. And we've learned that, I think, particularly recently. So I've always liked that. And that's another one where we're very often making the show up as we go along. When we see something, you put it on right away. And that's another thing that Tag Board is really designed for, right? Is that I can get it on immediately. Last year, we have a streaming service called CBSN Chicago that's just on our website and on your phones. And we were able to give people a second screen option for the election coverage. And you see this now going on with like football games and stuff, but we had it on last year. And Chris Ty, our reporter, and I, we came up with reports based on whatever we could find in Tag Board. Now, we didn't know what we were going to find. We started out with the debates, and then we went through election night. We were listening through the debates and said, wait a minute, I can filter out these pieces of data from Twitter. I can show you a heat map. I can compare hashtags, and even those little things would give us a little bit of insights to it. So as far as like tag board and social media integrating, you know, for years, election night has been all about preparation. It's all about the computer system that's going to give us the results. It's the stationing our 10 reporters at the headquarters. Well, now it is doing all those things, but also having tag board set up, because that's a feed of information just like anything else, and something that we're going to throw into that salad the minute we get it.
Yeah, I love that. How we change, you know, election coverage is always going to change. But what will not change is the fact that pizza will undoubtedly be in every newsroom across the country come election night.
Without a doubt. There is no election without pizza.
Exactly.
I remember as a sports anchor, we used to always get upset that the news team got pizza on election night. And we felt like we were having election night every Friday night when it was like high school football was just running wild, and we never got pizza. No, but that was always, you're right. Election night is just like the energy is different in a newsroom on election night. It is the reason a lot of people get into it. Real quick, Zach, you mentioned the digital side of it with CBSN. We've seen all these networks go streaming, go digital. What's that been like within the newsroom of, kind of producing content, not just for the linear side, but also the digital side? Does it change how you think about storytelling on that side? Is it different newscast at all? Or is it kind of the same programming on both?
Well, no, it does change everything. And it doesn't even just change producing, it changes news gathering. So before we even get to the producer, the streaming services, the digital channels, you have to start much further upstream, so that by the time you get to producing the show or producing the story itself, you're thinking that's going to go on social, that's going to go on digital, that's going to go on the website. We're going to not put this on our newscast because we're going to drive people that way, because we don't want to bog down a half an hour newscast with interactive maps, because that doesn't help you. Mm-hmm. But we do have interactive maps on our website. We have an interactive map that right now that shows you where carjackings are. So think about how useful that is if you're sitting in Chicago and want to know where things are going. So that's a content narrative thing that we are that changes how we do things. We might come out of our carjacking story and say, hey, go to our website because we're keeping, you know, we've got a map that shows where the carjackings are. Oh, and by the way, we have a QR code that we put up, and you'll snap it with your phone and it'll take you right to it. So I think where we're going with this is we stop thinking of ourselves as a television station, and we think of ourselves as content generators. I know that's like a corporate speak, but like, we are getting your information. We are getting your video. We are getting your interviews. We are getting your graphics to make it all make sense. How you choose to get it from us, well, we've got a ton of different ways. We will meet you where you are. But the channels are all blending together. And I'll give you an example of that. I've talked to people who are the millennials, Gen Zs. I'm Gen X, so I guess that means I'm old now. But they'll tell us, I don't have a TV. I heard from somebody, I don't have a TV. And I said, well, how do you watch TV? And they said, well, I put it on my computer. And I said, well, then that's your TV, isn't it? Well, now the word TV is meaningless because it's just a screen. So when you start thinking about that, you start to kind of forget about the piece of plastic and glass that this is going to be on, because it's going to be everywhere. And yes, that means that upstream we think to ourselves, let's shoot this, we'll have this aspect will go this way, this aspect will go this way, and then we'll create some connective tissue to bring them all together. Mm-hmm. And together, you know, it paints such a diverse, textured, I think, image of what is going on. And I think it's a better experience for everyone to kind of have it all.
I think that's so great. Like, especially when you said, we're going to meet you where you are.
Absolutely.
You can't really expect these days that everyone's going to tune in at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 10 or 11 o'clock. Like, you got to go where they are, which is probably head down in a phone or in a laptop somewhere or in a tablet on a couch. So I absolutely love that. Well, Zach, it's been so good so far. We're not done yet. We've got a lot more conversation to come. But for now, grab that phone, get ready to scan the QR code on screen. Zach just mentioned QR codes. Get ready to scan our QR code on screen. It's time for a little tag board trivia, CBS edition.
You just heard us call out tag board trivia during the Storyteller live experience. If you're listening on the podcast, no need to worry. You can play along as well. We dropped a link in the show notes, or go to tagboard.com/storyteller. Scroll down a little and you'll see the trivia.
Well, I hope you all crushed trivia. Let's get right back into our conversation with Zach Spector from CBS Chicago by doing some of our favorite storyteller segments. We're going to start it off with We'll Do It Live. This one is all about the chaos of live television. Zach, with your many hours spent producing TV, I can only imagine the chaos you have witnessed behind the scenes. You could probably give us a full season of Storyteller with just live television stories. But maybe paint a picture for our viewers of one of your favorites when you were producing live TV and it was just chaotic.
Well, you know, one thing that comes to mind, and specifically for live television, sometimes we're really proud of how well produced a show is. This one was about being live. And it was the night that we found out that Osama bin Laden had been captured and killed. So I had been working all day on my 10 o'clock newscast like I would. I came in, whatever, 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And we were prepared for our show. And we had all of our stories lined up, all of our reporters lined up. And then at about 9 o'clock, I saw an Associated Press alert that said that President Barack Obama was going to make a speech at, I think, whatever it was, 9:30. And I thought, Sunday night at 9:30, the president's going to make a speech. That seems odd to me. So I called Network and I said, have you heard anything about this? And they said, and I could hear a lot of chaos, by the way, going around. And I remember them, one of them said, Zach, this is going to sound weird, but we've heard that Osama bin Laden has been captured and killed. And I said, oh, wow. Okay. And so at that point, I don't know what's going to happen, because obviously Network is going to do their thing. I've got my newscast of stuff that probably is not going to seem super relevant in light of this huge, huge news story that was about to happen. And so we started trying to, like, what would we do? What are we going to do that's even relevant? And we started seeing that, like, CNN, because we're keeping an eye on everybody, CNN started saying, we're hearing this rumor, the president's going to speak. Let's see. And so sure enough, we get closer to our newscast. I'm not sure the exact time, but Network takes over. They say, we're breaking in. We're taking control of everybody. All the local stations, we're taking it. We're like, okay. And we're waiting for the president. The president comes out and speaks and delivers this, you know, world-changing news. And it blows out our show, which of course it does. And as it's going through the show, I'm thinking, you know, this is what producing is. What happens if they give it back to me? What happens when the president stops speaking? We don't know when he's going to be done speaking. We don't know when he's done speaking if Network's going to toss back to us or they're going to stay on their coverage. We're just waiting to find out. And as they went through our show, they blew out our show, and we get to the end of it, and I'm thinking, all right, well, I guess that's it. And I happened to have my news director on the phone, and he said, oh, no, you're going on. And I said, with what? What am I going to do that's relevant? Minutes ago. And he said, we've got to do something. So it was just me, my director, assistant director. I had a very experienced anchor who was there. I said, you know, put him on the flash cam, which is our newsroom camera, have him ready to go. And he's saying, what am I going to say? I'm like, start researching, just be ready to ad lib. I had one writer, editor, you know, you'd call it maybe an associate producer, who's sitting in the newsroom. And I said, send a camera crew out there, try to interview people about this reaction. I mean, we were breaking the news to these people. If they were out at a restaurant, they hadn't heard. And as we were going, they tossed back to us, and my news director said, we got to have stuff. We got to be with people. We got to help them through this. And so it would be like a newspath had sent us a package, you know, like an edited piece that was the obituary on Osama bin Laden, because, you know, we keep those around. So I said, start with the anchor, tell him to ad lib, tell him to go to this piece that we have. Okay. They run the piece. I'm like, okay, I've got 2 minutes to figure out what's next. Okay. Kathy's in the newsroom. Kathy, can you cut me some video? I got a couple of pieces of video. Okay, put them together, put them in the system. Hey, director, roll that video over the anchor, Derek. Tell him he's got to talk for another minute and illustrate that video. He goes, and each time I'm like, okay, I've bought myself 2 minutes. I bought myself 90 seconds. Let's see. I've got 90 seconds to figure out what else I can do. And then it's like, where's my camera crew? Did you get anything? Yeah, I got 3 people. Okay. Feed that video in. Kathy in the newsroom, you edit that video. Let's get that in the system. Director, go ahead and take that sound. Tell Derek he's got sound from reaction from people. And we did that one piece at a time. We kind of stacked the blocks one piece at a time. Until at the end of it, we had a full hour. And I feel like it was important to have that moment together, to not just, after hearing that, I mean, think of the physical reaction to hearing that news, to then just go back to whatever programming was on, to help ease people back from it. And I think it was important because I think local news connects with people in a way that national news doesn't. National news is hugely important, and gets a lot of the attention. But I think that seeing at a time, there needs to be a moment of community in a big moment like that. And I hope that's what we gave people for that hour afterwards.
Zach, when you talk about network cutting in, I'm flashing back to like March through June of 2020, where network was breaking in every single day with Dr. Fauci and pandemic updates. And, you know, we had a chance to talk a little bit before the podcast as well. And you just have such great insight. And I'd love to hear more about how you feel like live local news has changed since the era of the pandemic.
Well, it is, you know, it's changed in a lot of ways and probably in a lot of ways we don't even know yet. I think that it is still evolving. And I can tell you that every few months, I feel like we're evolving, even more so than usual. But I remember even, it's funny when I was talking to you guys before, I'll talk to other people, I'll say, well, remember the beginning of the pandemic, which was only 18 months ago. But, you know, it's like remember World War II? Well, that was, you know, it's only like a year and a half ago. But there was this heightened push for urgency, which is what we're talking about at the beginning of this podcast. This heightened urgency took precedence over a lot of things. So like, for example, urgency took precedence over video quality. It took precedence over smaller concerns. Like sometimes, you know, when we're producing a show, we want the show to be very watchable. We want it to be something you'd enjoy watching. You would find it fascinating and you would want to watch it, but we knew people needed this information, needed it. And so that urgency was taking precedence over a lot of other considerations. Also, obviously, first and foremost, the safety of our workers in the field, the safety of, I mean, we were coming in the building, but I was mostly concerned about my photographers and reporters who were out there. And still, it was a scary time. You didn't know wherever you went, you weren't sure if you were walking into something that you'd later find out would be very dangerous. So working within that sort of umbrella of safety, we just wanted to get out whatever information we had. So we would do a lot of things like we would cut out programming, like regular, you know, daytime programming, because somebody was giving a speech. And we said, you know what? Normally, the head of the health department talking isn't something I would break into Judge Judy for, but I'm going to do it today because people need to hear this. Even the concept of what a news story is changed for us, because very often you don't, you know, you need a certain level of information to put out there. But we said, you know what, I've got this one piece of information, I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to have the anchor say it. I don't have video, I don't have graphics, but it needs to be out in the world and we're going to put it out. And we were building shows like that all the time. Like, we heard this, avoid this. We heard this, this might help you. We heard this symptom, something maybe you want to look for. And it wasn't as connected to a story as we would have liked, but it was something that people needed to have. And so we put it out.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I, you know, to bring up a point that you brought up earlier as well, it really feels like the pandemic put a re-emphasis and a refocus on local news, because while national news is great, knowing what's going on, especially in a time where you have no idea what's going on, but knowing what's going on in your own community really is paramount. And that's something that you guys did a great job of. I want to shift gears here a little bit. Okay. We've got a segment coming up here called Sound on Tape. So Zach, you know exactly what makes a good soundbite. So hit us with a quick soundbite on producing local news if we were to ask you what's critical to a successful career in local news?
Oh, a successful career in local news. Well, I would say, as with a lot of things in life, work on yourself and your own skills, and then you'll be successful wherever you apply it. Work on your own, how you react, how you perceive things, how you perceive news. I think when you start in the business, you start by saying, well, someone told me I should be doing this. Someone told me I should be doing this. If you work on yourself, if you hone your skills, and also though your temperament and your personality and your how you react to things, you'll be successful and you'll stick around for a long time.
I like it. I cut that. I put that in the broadcast.
that's a good vote song. We'll reuse it for a package on the best advice exactly. Later on.
Terrific. And then we'll put the entire thing on digital so that people can see it in the longer form if they want it.
I like
of
that.
Of course. We'll get a blog post right.
That's how we do it.
Zach, it's been so great today. And we're going to actually wrap it up with our final segment called our Storyteller Shoutout. You've done an amazing job sharing your story with us today. So I want you to look into the camera and shout out another incredible storyteller out there who you admire, who you think maybe either we should have on this show or you just want people to know about.
Well, I would love to introduce you all to an incredible producer, but also a great friend. Her name is Sue McCann. Everybody who knows her loves her. And she's just incredibly talented and a great person to work with. And creative, inventive, get stuff done. And that is so important in TV. So love Sue, She is a wonderful storyteller.
There we go. Love to hear it. And I just love shouting out other storytellers. There's so many people in your industry, Zach, and industries across the country that are doing amazing, amazing work. And so thank you for taking the time today to share your stories. Tell us how the last 18 months have been, how things have developed over the last 20 years in local TV. Thanks for joining us today.